Hare Krishna. Today we have gathered for a most significant event in a devotee's life. The awarding of a diksha or initiation, second initiation. The system of bhakti yoga is a scientific method for bringing the individual soul in proper relationship with the Supreme Soul. Every one of us is a spiritual soul in our actual identity. And as souls, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. The individual soul is a person, and the Supreme Soul is also a person. He is the Supreme Person. And we have an eternal relationship with Him. He is our origin. And the relationship is one of ecstatic, loving service. Today is also an auspicious occasion because it is the appearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya is one of the four principal acharyas, one each for each of the four main sampradayas or spiritual lines. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said that Ramanujacharya is the best fortress for defending ourselves against Mayavad. Now, what is Mayavad? Maya means this illusory material energy. Maya can also mean the illusion that the conditioned soul falls into under the influence of the material energy. Now, the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, means that the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Being. We are one in quality. We have the same qualities as He, but we are different in quantity, because He is infinite and we are infinitesimal. But still, just as we are persons, He is also a person. But we are infinitesimal, and He is infinitely great. So the Mayavadis, they wrongly believe that individuality exists in the state of illusion or bondage, but not in the state of liberation or freedom. they think that that we believe that we are individuals because we are in illusion, because we've accepted a material body. But when we become free from the physical body and the illusions, we merge and become one with Brahman, one with the impersonal light, or one with God. But that is not the case. We can understand very easily that it is actually the soul that is the person, not the body. The body is just a machine. And the soul makes the machine work. Without the soul, the machine does not function. The eyes are there, the legs are there, the nostrils are there, the arms are there. All the parts of the body can be there. But when the soul is gone, the body is just a lump of matter. It has no significance. So it is really the soul that is the person. And the soul animates the body. So the thinking, the feeling, the desiring, the perceiving of things, the acting in different ways, it is all being done by the soul. Just like I'm looking through these eyeglasses, but the eyeglasses are not seeing. I'm seeing through the eyeglasses. So similarly, the body, it doesn't see, it doesn't hear, it doesn't smell, it doesn't feel. It's just a machine. It's actually the consciousness that is seeing, smelling, touching, and so on, through the body. So the soul is sentient, it is conscious, and it is eternal. And it is individual, it is personal. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, says, Mame vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That the living entities are my parts and parcels, fragmental parts and parcels, and they are eternal. That is, they are eternally fragmental parts and parcels. They never can actually merge and become one with the Supreme. So, in Vedic literature, in the Bhagavad Gita, and all Vedic scriptures, we find the word Brahman. Brahman is sometimes translated as the Absolute Truth. The beginning of the Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that we have come to the human form of life, we should inquire into Brahma, into the Absolute Truth. And one who understands Brahma is called a Brahman. Brahma jana titi brahmana. One who understands Brahman, he or she is a Brahman. But what does it mean to understand Brahman? This is the crucial question. And tonight I shall read two verses from the Bhagavad Gita, the basic textbook of yoga, the basic textbook of the living entity and its relationship with the Supreme Being. This is the Bhagavad Gita as it is, this edition translated by Srila Prabhupada. So text 27. Please repeat after me. We will recite a mantra that will invoke auspiciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So text 27. Brahmano hi pratistaham amrit. Well, okay. You're enthusiastic. That's very good. We can. I will recite one line, and then you can repeat after me. Brahmano hi pratistaham.
Brahmano hi pratistaham.
Amritasya vayasya cha. Shasvatasya cha dharmasya. Sukhasya ekantikasya cha. Brahmana. Of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti.
He certainly.
Pratishtha, the rest.
Aham, I am.
Amritasya,
of the immortal.
Avyayasya,
of the imperishable.
Cha, also.
Shashvatasya.
Of the eternal.
Cha.
And.
Dharmasya.
Of the constitutional position.
Sukhasya.
Of happiness.
Aikantikasya.
Ultimate.
Cha.
Also.
And
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking the verse. And this is the translation. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So please repeat. I am the basis.
I am the basis.
Of the impersonal Brahman.
Of the impersonal Brahman.
Which is immortal.
Which is immortal.
Imperishable.
Imperishable.
And eternal.
And eternal.
And is the constitutional position. Of ultimate happiness. So this impersonal Brahman, which is the goal of impersonal jnanis and yogis, Krishna says that he is the basis of it. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the postgraduate study of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdyate, that the absolute truth is realized in three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And that Brahman, that Brahma Jyoti, that spiritual light, is the effulgence emanating from the transcendental body of Krishna. Just like the sunshine is emanating from the sun globe. So similarly, the Brahma Jyoti is emanating from the transcendental form of Krishna. And therefore he says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. He also says, sukhasya antikasya cha, that this is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. We cannot be happy in the material body, because the material body is meant for suffering. I mean, ultimately, the human body is meant for realizing God. That's what Prabhupada calls making the best use of a bad bargain. But otherwise, the physical body is meant for suffering. One philosopher gave the example, if you take your finger and you think of all the ways that it can enjoy happiness, there's not much it can do. But if you think of all the ways it can suffer pain, oh, there's so many. You know, it can be pinched, it can be cut, it can be burnt, it can be crushed. When I was a young boy of, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years, in those days we had adding machines. We didn't have electric or electronic calculators like now. So we had adding machines, and there'd be a spool with paper, and anyway, my finger got caught in that. It was excruciating. It's really, I think, probably the most excruciating experience I've ever had from this finger. So the finger can suffer so much pain, but how much happiness can it enjoy? So the body is meant for suffering. But the good thing, especially about the human body in particular, is that it can be used to realize God, realize our true natures and relationship with God, and become free from this cycle of repeated birth and death and suffering. So the purports here are very significant, and I request all of you to read them. But I'll just read a small portion for the sake of time. In the Vedic language, it is said, raso vai saha rasam hi evayam labdavanti bhavanti. When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. That's from the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. The Supreme Lord is full in 6 opulences, and when a devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these 6 opulences. The servant of the king enjoys on almost the same level with the king. And so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness, and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman, or eternity, or imperishability, is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. So, Brahman is realized basically by jnanis, and Brahman is realization of just eternity. The Lord is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So Sat means eternity, Chit means knowledge, and Ananda means bliss. So the impersonal jnanis, they realize, if they're fortunate, that's another thing, but hypothetically, they can realize Brahman, the impersonal effulgence, and experience eternity. That's all. Eternity. The yogis who realize Paramatma, the Lord within the heart, dhyana vastita tat gatena manasi pasyanti yam yogina, they realize sat and chit, eternity and knowledge, because Paramatma is certainly eternal, but there's also knowledge. Knowledge that the Supreme Soul or Paramatma exists alongside the individual soul or Jivatma. So there is knowledge. Knowledge that the Lord has form. But the ultimate realization, the last word in realization, is Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's full in six opulences. And realization of Bhagavan includes Sat, Chit, and Ananda, because there's bliss in reciprocation with the Lord. And that's what we all ultimately want. We want happiness, and that happiness is experienced through loving relationship. Otherwise, there's no real happiness. But when we look for that satisfaction in the material world, we don't find it. We get maya. We get a cheap imitation or false illusion. The example is given that someone may be chasing after a mirage. You know, in the desert there's the illusion of water. It's a mirage. You keep going, pushing further, further, further. I'm dying, I'm dying, dying of thirst. But that illusory image of water does not exist. You never reach it. So in the same way, we are looking for that happiness, that satisfaction that comes from love, true love, but that does not exist in the material world. But that thirst for real happiness and love is there in the soul, because the soul has that relationship with the Supreme, with Krishna. And therefore it keeps looking for it, but because of ignorance, because of being trapped in maya, the soul doesn't think to look for that happiness, look for that loving relationship with Krishna. And therefore it keeps pursuing this false hope. And popular culture, books, songs, poems, is just full of stories of the heartbreak that it that attends to one whose hopes for that type of love are shattered. It was in a little different context, but the temple president in Los Angeles, Suvas Das, was telling me about some popular young musicians, singers with instruments, who were coming to the temple and taking interest in Krishna consciousness and writing some songs with the message of Krishna consciousness. So, maybe he thought I was a little surprised, because he and I are from the same generation. And during our youth, the songs didn't have that much of a philosophical message. So Vas Prabhu said, well, actually, you know, their songs are different. It's not like the usual song. And then he sort of broke into a little song. Oh, baby, you left me. How could you do this to me? You left me brokenhearted. That's what most of the songs are like. That's what most of the songs are like, because that's what life is like. That's what that vain pursuit of happiness results in. Or, if one is, you know, maybe a little more dutiful, one gets married and sticks it out. But it's not really that enlivening or inspiring. I mean, this is outside of Krishna consciousness, of course. But they stick it out. And people have sort of commented, let us say, on the story of Romeo and Juliet. The story of Romeo and Juliet is the typical or archetypical tragedy of a young man and a young woman falling in love and not being able to come together. So they've commented, well, what if they actually did get married? What would it have been like 30 years later? And they sort of paint a pretty grim picture of, you know, the husband working and the wife slaving away in the kitchen, cooking and doing the laundry and keeping the... And it's like, sort of like, well, maybe it was better that they died in the illusion of love and lived through the reality of the illusion. So it's like that. But that desire for love is intrinsic to the soul, because we have that loving relationship with Krishna. And that's what we are actually looking for. But we don't know it. And therefore, in ignorance or illusion, we look for it with other conditioned souls who are suffering in material bodies, just like we are. And the body is a machine, but we think that the body is the person. I had a godbrother who gave a nice image. I mentioned it once, of two tractors, not exactly tractors, but I guess bulldozers, the ones that have those big, a big thing in the front, bulldozers. Yeah. He compared kissing, you know. Now, we are, you know, blessed or cursed to be living very near Hollywood. The film industry, as one devotee said, the film industry is Maya's Maya. I mean, the material world is Maya, it's an illusion. And within that illusion, there's a further degree of illusion, which is Hollywood. So, and again, you know, it's been 40 years, so things might have changed, but at least in the old days, the movie had to end with the man and woman coming together and kissing. And then that was the finale, that was the grand finale of the movie, and everyone left feeling happy that, you know, they've come together and they will be happy from now on. So this devotee, what he said was that kissing is like two bulldozers coming together and butting their shovels or whatever those things are. Because it's just two machines. It's just two machines, you know. And because of that false identification with the body, yeah, I mean, there's some sensation, but it's illusory. It's very temporary, and it does end in misery. So, Brahman, spirit. The spirit is the basis, is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. And how does one achieve that position? That's the critical question. That is answered in text 26. These two verses are very important. We won't chant responsively, but you can join with me here if you know it. Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaityam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Very good. We'll repeat the words. Mam, unto me. Cha, also. Ya, a person who. Vyabhicharena, without fail. Bhakti yogena, by bhakti yoga, sevate, renders service, sa, he, gunan, the modes of material nature, samatitya, transcending, etan, all these, Brahma Bhuyaya, elevated to the Brahman platform, Kalpate, becomes. Translation, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So the method by which we can transcend the modes of material nature and come to the Brahman platform, which is the platform of ultimate happiness, is bhakti yoga. And this is the process that we are teaching and following here. There are nine main processes in bhakti yoga: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, beginning with hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, which includes chanting his holy name or glorifying his beautiful form, his sublime qualities, and his wonderful activities. There's so much to glorify in Krishna and to remember him. And it's natural. If you hear about something or someone and talk about something or someone, it's natural. You'll think about them. You'll remember them. So this is the basic process of bhakti yoga. It is deceptively simple because we're all hearing anyway. You know, hearing the news, hearing different political views, predictions about the economy, predictions about the weather. So we're hearing and we're talking. Always talking. And even glorify people who've made some achievement in the material world. We glorify and we remember them. So we don't really have to do anything different, but we change the subject to Krishna. And that makes all the difference. And it's so subtle, the difference is so subtle that you may not even realize the difference. And here Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example that a person gets on an airplane and takes his seat, and on the airplane he's busy, reading, and he doesn't even notice that he's gone anywhere. But when he looks out the window, he sees, oh my gosh, we're so far up here. The earth is way down there. So we do the same things. And, of course, the process of purification is there, and you do feel it. But in a way, it's also subtle. And you may not perceive a radical change in your life. But when you look out the window and see where you were and where you are now, there's a big difference. So devotees in Krishna consciousness, on the basic activities of sinful life, eating meat, fish, eggs, taking intoxicants, even coffee and tea and cigarettes, and having illicit sex and gambling. Devotees don't do that. So that's part of what it means to you. Like, you look and see where you were now and where you are, where you were before and where you are now. So in this transcendental system of bhakti yoga, and part of that system is to accept a spiritual master, be initiated by him. So the initiation has been divided into two parts. The first is called Harinam. That's the initiation into the chanting of the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the beginning. And when one is steady in chanting a prescribed number of rounds every day and following these four basic principles, then after some time that person is considered eligible for the second initiation, which is called Diksha. And by that second initiation, one is considered to be a Brahman and is eligible to worship the deity, Shri Vigraha. Now, as mentioned in the purports here, that to serve Brahman, you have to be on the Brahman platform. You can't serve someone if you're on a different platform. So to serve the Supreme Spirit, you have to be on the spiritual platform. And the basic requirement for attaining the spiritual platform is this: chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, a prescribed number every day, and following these four basic principles of no eating flesh, no taking intoxicants, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And then one can be considered a candidate for the second initiation. And the second initiation enables the person to worship the deity. And if one continues in with the process of bhakti yoga, one comes to the stage where one not only worships the form of the Lord installed in the temple in the form of the deity, but one can actually enter the spiritual kingdom of the Lord and engage in loving service and in loving reciprocation with the Lord face to face in a spiritual body. So in a way, this is practice for going to the spiritual world and serving the Lord face to face and having that desire for loving relationship fulfilled totally and completely beyond anything we can imagine. But at the same time, as a devotee progresses, he realizes that the form of the Lord in the temple is the Lord himself. There's no difference. And there are many stories of advanced devotees who have deities, and the deities talk with them. They have discussions, they have activities together. And, you know, one longer story is the story of Shakshi Gopal, the witness Gopal, which we don't have time to relate, although it's a wonderful story, a beautiful story. But just a short little example involves Srila Sanatan Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya. He was living as a mendicant in Vrindavan, and at that time Vrindavan was really just a jungle, just a forest, with very little infrastructure, as we would say today. And he personally had nothing. He would just go from door to door and beg a little, and whatever the householders would give him, he would accept and keep his body and soul together to serve Krishna. So there was a deity of Madan Mohan. Even this is a long story, but this deity wanted to be cared for and worshipped by Sanatan Goswami. So he, let us say, he made his desire known. And Sanatan Goswami told him, you know, I'm just a mendicant, and you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You deserve to be worshipped like a king, but I don't have the facility. So I don't think that you should come with me. You should stay where you are in some Brahmin's house in Mathura, and he can worship you with greater opulence and facility than I can. But Madan Mohan insisted, no, I want to come with you. I want to be served by you. So, okay. So Sanatana Goswami took him with him to Vrindavan, near the banks of the Yamuna River. And basically all he would get would be like a little atta, a wheat flour. And he would make the wheat flour into a ball, and he would bake that ball on a fire. And that was all he could offer Madan Mohan. So one day Madan Mohan said to Sanatana Goswami, "You know, every day all you offer me are these dry wheat balls. You don't even give me any salt." So Sanatana Goswami said, "You know, I told you before I accepted you that I'm just a mendicant, and whatever I get, I pass on to you. And nobody's giving me salt. So how can I offer you baked wheat balls with salt?" So, very soon thereafter, a very wealthy businessman was transporting a barge of salt to sell in Agra. And the barge got stuck on the banks, the sand of the Yamuna River. And Sanatana Goswami lived up on a hill. Hill is there, the temple is there, Madan Mohan's temple. The well is there, where Sanatana Goswami used to draw water. Everything is there. So Madan Mohan, so the merchant is down in the river, thinking, what is he going to do? The tons of salt is just going to be stuck, and he's not going to be able to sell it. And he was desperate. So Madan Mohan went down the hill to the merchant as, you know, a little cowherd boy, and he told the merchant, "There's one Baba who lives up on the hill. If you see the Baba and ask for his blessings, your problem might be solved." So the man came up and he saw Sanatana Goswami, just simple mendicant chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, Sanatana goes, "Well, I don't know what I can do, but, you know, you can just chant and pray to Lord Krishna." And then the merchant went down, and he found that his barge was freed from the impasse. Actually, Madan Mohan did it all. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the merchant was very grateful. He thought that his whole shipment had been saved by the blessings of Sanatana Goswami. So he asked Sanatana Goswami, "You know, I want to do something for you. You know, I'll be making so much profit." So he said, "I don't really need anything for myself, but if you want, you can build a temple for Madan Mohan." Madan Mohan was just living in a tree. And you can leave a little bag of salt so I can I can give him salt with his dry wheat balls. So that is just a little idea of the reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees, the Lord in the deity form, when one is on that level. So we don't begin on that level. We begin on the level of sadhana, Brahman, one can make progress from that stage of Brahman to Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava. But at least on that level, one has been steady enough in one's chanting and following the regulative principles to be considered eligible for the second initiation, Brahminical initiation. And so these two devotees, Balaram Das, who is a local devotee. Balaram Prabhu, can you stand up? So please come and take your seat here. And the other is Aditi Dasi. Aditi Dasi is originally from Brazil, but she, at least I met her in the temple in London, and she came for a few months to do service in Los Angeles, and now she will also get her second initiation. So please stand up and take your place. All of you, please give your good wishes and blessings. So, the priest will be leading them in different mantras, but before that, we will all chant responsively the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once. So please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.